My name's Ken Yates, and I've got the next section. So let's start with another word of prayer. Father, thank you again for this time together, and we just pray that as we continue studying the books of 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, that we would not only understand them, but that the Spirit would apply the truths that we learn here in our lives so that we honor you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I just want to start off, my section deals with confession of sin, and I have a sin to confess right off, and it is, I'm going to tell you right now, I don't love my kids nearly as much as Sean loves his kids. And I'm not joking about that or anything. My kids would have been in the car and we'd have been going home. We'd have been going to some buffet to eat dinner, and then we'd have been home and sleeping in our beds that night. That's what would have happened. And I believe everyone in here feels the same way I do. amen, right? Yeah. I don't know when it would have happened, when I broke my toe, when my daughter pooped in her thing, but somewhere in there we were leaving that campsite. So that's it. All right. I have 1 John 1:5 through 1 John chapter 2, verse 2. And the title of it is Fellowship. As Sean very ably demonstrated, the book of 1 John is about fellowship with God. And in my section here, starting in verse 5, we are going to see that fellowship involves walking in the light and confession of sin. So if we put it very simply, it's this. One of the things that John is saying in this book is, if I'm going to have an intimate relationship with God, we're going to see it in these verses that I'm dealing with, there needs to be, I need to walk in the light, and we're going to talk about that, and I need to confess my sins. And again, this is in 1 John chapter 1, verse 5 through chapter 2, verse 2. So, as Sean said, the book's about fellowship. And that is the purpose of the letter of 1 John. One of the things Sean said, and I just want to build upon it, it's very important to understand that 1 John is not telling us how to be saved from hell. That's normally the way this book is taught. Even if you go to seminary, that's what they're going to tell you. Remember, he talked about test of life. That they'll say, you go to 1 John, and there's a bunch of tests in there. And if you don't pass the tests, then you're not saved and you're going to go to hell. That's the way it's normally taken. I remember Bob mentioned I was a chaplain in the Army. I remember many years ago, I went to the basic course at Fort Monmouth, New Jersey, close by here. Well, I don't know how close it is, to be honest with you. It's in New Jersey anyway. And I remember my roommate said, I love the first book of 1 John because it is the test of life. It lets us know whether we're going to heaven or not. And that's absolutely wrong. This is not a book telling us how to go to heaven. What book in the Bible is for that?
John.
Gospel of John. But 1 John is not the book to tell us how to go to heaven or how to know if we're going to go to heaven or not. In other words, a bunch of tests. You know, well, I've got to do this, I got to do that, I got to do that. Okay. So this book is talking about fellowship or intimacy with God. Well, one of the things we got to ask is, what does that look like? What does fellowship with God look like? Or what do I need to do if I want to have fellowship with God, that koinonia, if I want to be close with Him? And in the book of 1 John, what it's dealing with there is, as a believer in Jesus Christ, I already know I have eternal life. I already know I'm going to be in the kingdom of God. If I want to have intimacy with God, what do I need to do? That's an important question. But again, don't confuse these things with this is what I need to do to go to heaven, because those are two completely different things. And in my section that I'm dealing with, John is going to talk about a couple things that we need to do as believers in Jesus Christ if I want to have intimacy with him. To go back to Sean's illustration, his kids were already his kids. But what does Sean, or what does his kids need to do if they want to have a close relationship with him? That's what the book of 1 John is about. Now, let me just say a couple things about this, and Sean also mentioned this. One of the things that's going on in the book of 1 John is that John is having to deal with some false teachers. And the problem that we have in 1 John is that John doesn't say, okay, Joe and Bill are the false teachers and this is what they're teaching. He doesn't come out and say that. But we do know, reading between the lines, what these false teachers were saying. And Sean kind of also hinted at this. The false teachers were probably saying that they were close to God and they were teaching the people that John is writing to, if you want to be close to God, do what we do. Well, what we see in the section that I'm dealing with here is that probably what the false teachers were saying, or one of the things they were saying, is this. You want to be close to God? It doesn't matter if you sin or not. Now, again, reading between the lines and church history, maybe what is going on is there was a false teaching in the early centuries of the church that said that man and women are spirit and body. When you die, your spirit goes to be with the Lord. When you die, your body goes to the grave and it goes to dust and it comes to nothing. So what you do with your body doesn't matter. What you do, if you sin, if you sleep with somebody who's not your wife or your husband, that doesn't matter because that's something you do with your body. And when you die, your body goes to the grave and that's it. Something like that was probably going on with these false teachers. It's okay to sin. The commandments in the Bible, whether we're talking about New Testament or Old Testament, doesn't matter. Bob mentioned that I teach a lot of places, and what I have found, and I guess it's here in the States too, but I'm just not familiar with it, a thing called hyper grace. Overseas, it's very common, and for example, I was in Zambia and teaching, and the students that I was teaching say, we have these guys that are hyper grace people, and the hyper grace people say, you can sin however you want, and it doesn't matter. Sin is not important. And so what I'm saying is, it's still with us today. I also like to study Spanish, and one of the things I do is when I walk my dog in the morning, I listen to a guy preaching in Spanish, and there's a guy in Mexico, and he talks about this all the time, so I guess it's big in Mexico too. That's kind of what John is dealing with. And these false teachers were saying, if you want to be close to God, then it's okay to sin however you want. It doesn't matter. And so we're going to see that in the section that I have, John is going to address that issue. Can I have intimacy with God and just blow off his commandments, the things that he commands me to do, the things that Christ told us to do? Do I have to listen to them? And that's what John is going to address right off the bat in after the introduction that Sean dealt with. What is God like? That's what John's going to deal with first. Notice in verse 5, right after the introduction, John says, and this is the message we have heard from him and announced to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. And again, if we're talking about fellowship with God, the first thing we need to understand is that God is completely holy. That is what it means when John says God is light. There is no sin in him. And in Greek, it's emphasized. In him, there is no sin whatsoever. So, if we're talking about having fellowship or intimacy with the one who is completely holy and in whom there is no sin, how can I possibly think that I'm going to have intimacy with him if I'm saying I can sin however much I want? I'm a pretty simple guy. I have very few hobbies. I have very few interests. I love Kentucky basketball. I love to study the Bible. And most of the time, I love my family. And that's pretty much it. I like to go out to eat. So if you came up to me and you said, listen, I hate Kentucky basketball, I hate your family, and I never want to study the Bible, you and I probably are not going to have any kind of relationship at all, no intimacy at all. And John is saying that off the bat. God is completely holy, and in him there is no sin. That's who he is. That's his character. And so these false teachers who were saying, however they were teaching it, that you can sin however you want and be close to God, I was like, no, ain't going to happen. You can't have intimacy with him if that's the case. And by the way, and Sean mentioned this as well, always keep in mind that throughout the book of 1 John, that believers can live like that. Believers can go out and sin all they want. They can't lose eternal life. But they cannot claim to have intimacy with God if that's the way they're living. Fellowship with him requires that we live in a holy way. And this is what John's going to describe in this section. And again, the false teachers were probably teaching something like this. God is good, but he's also got some bad parts of him. You know, and so it's okay if you sin. He doesn't mind. But John, right off the bat, says, no, that's not the case at all. In him, there is no sin whatsoever. Now, fellowship with God begins right here. We may want to hide our sin or we may want to deny it. For example, when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, the first thing they did was hide it. But their intimacy with God was taken away. If we want to have fellowship with God, we've got to address this issue. Sin impacts our fellowship with God. Now, notice what he says in verse 6. If we say that we have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie. And do not practice the truth. Now notice what John says. If we say we have fellowship with him, and as Sean mentioned, we here probably includes the apostles, but here he's probably expanding it to his readership as well. If I as a believer say, me and God are real close, but I am living a life of sin. I'm walking in sin. I don't care what Jesus tells me to do. Then I am a liar. Now, notice, I'm still a believer. I still have eternal life. But John doesn't say, if we say we are saved or whatever the case may be, if we claim to have intimacy with God, but yet walk in the darkness, we're lying. Why? Because God is light. How can I claim to be in fellowship or intimacy with the one who is completely light if I am walking in darkness? Now, if we could go back to the family relationship, my children are always my children, but they could choose to withdraw from me, to have any kind of intimacy with me. And that is what John is saying is, if I'm a believer in Jesus Christ and I choose to walk in darkness, if I choose to blow off what Christ tells me to do, then I have walked away from him and I'm not in intimacy with him because he is light. That's John's point here. We are out of fellowship if we walk in darkness. but we have the choice. Now, remember I told you a lot of people look at 1 John as a book telling us how to know whether we're saved or not. There are a lot of people who will look at these verses and say, well, if you claim to be a believer but are walking in sin, you're really not a believer. No, that's not what John is saying at all. He makes it very clear. If we claim to have fellowship with him but are walking in sin, we're a liar. And there's a huge difference in those two things. You're going to see throughout 1 John that John is writing to believers. He makes it very clear. In fact, even in my section, he's going to call them little children. Do you think he's talking to believers or unbelievers there? My little children. He's talking to believers all throughout the book. And he is talking to believers, and he says, if we claim to have fellowship with God, if we claim to be intimate with God, but are walking in darkness, we are lying. And he's talking to believers. But again, most people come to this and say that John is talking to tell people, well, I'm going to tell you how whether know whether you're a believer or not. That's not the point at all. To walk in sin, to live in sin, is to live contrary to the truth about God, that he is holy. That is what John means at the end of verse 6 when he says that that's what we are doing. We are not practicing the truth. The truth is that God is holy. God is light. If I am walking in darkness and claim to be in fellowship with him, I am not living my life in accordance to the truth that God has declared about himself. That's one option we have as believers. We can walk in darkness. But there's an alternative. Verse 7. But if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus his Son cleanses us from all sin. So John is giving us two alternatives. We can walk in darkness, or, as he says in verse 7, we can walk in the light. We can do the things that the Lord has commanded us to do. We can try to live our lives in obedience. And when we do, we are sharing in God's character. We are intimacy. That's where he is. He is in the light, and as we live our lives that way, then we are in intimacy with him. Now, obviously, John does not mean sinlessness, and he's going to talk about this in these verses. But are we walking in obedience to him? And what John is comparing it to, it's like when I walk into a lit room. That's where God is. When I walk into, if I'm out here in the hallway and it's dark, but then I walk into a room and it's light, that's where God is. And what we're going to find here in these verses that I'm dealing with is what John is talking about is that when we walk in the light of God's word, what he has revealed to us, when we are spending time with him, then and walking in obedience to what he has revealed to us in his word, then we are walking in the light. And John says here that in the light, God reveals things to us about himself. He's going to talk about this in these verses that I'm about to address. He reveals himself in his word. Obviously, prayer is a part of this. Now, notice what he says here in this verse, in verse 7, that when we walk in the light, we have fellowship with one another. Now, a lot of times people come to this verse and think that what John is talking about is that when I'm walking in holiness, then me and other Christians have fellowship. That's not what John means. When I am walking in the light, when he says we have fellowship with one another, he's not talking about fellowship that Bob and I have or Sean and I have. He's talking about the fellowship that I and God have. We have fellowship with one another. If he is in the light and I am walking in the light, then I am having intimacy with him. That's John's point. We have fellowship with one another. And notice what he says. It says here that when we do that, the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Well, let's talk about that just for a second. Some people will say, well, wait a second. I thought as a believer, my sins were already forgiven. Right? And that's true. Positionally, when you believe in Jesus Christ, since Christ has died for all of your sins have already been paid for. And when you believe in Jesus Christ, you receive eternal life. And so in one sense, you can say positionally, all your sins have been forgiven. God declares you righteous because of your faith in Jesus Christ. But John is talking about something else. John is talking about what we can say as ongoing or fellowship forgiveness. And what he's saying is that when we are walking in fellowship with the Lord, walking in the light, Christ's sins also makes it possible for us to have fellowship with him because his sin cleanses us on a daily basis as well. Remember in the upper room, Jesus told the disciples when he washed their feet, he says, you all are already clean, but you need your feet washed. It was a symbol of the fact that as we walk with the Lord, if we are going to have fellowship with the Lord who is completely holy, we need an ongoing forgiveness of our sins as we walk in fellowship with him so that fellowship becomes possible. That's what John means when he says, as we walk in the light, his blood cleanses us from all our sins. Notice cleanses is in the present tense. When I became a believer in Jesus Christ, or when Christ died upon the cross, he paid for all my sins in the past. That's something he did in the past. But here John is talking about a daily ongoing cleansing that makes fellowship with the holy God possible. Now, as we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have these two options. Takes place. Notice verses 8 and 9. I want to read those to you. If we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Notice something. Once again, we have people who come to these verses and say, if you want to be saved, you got to confess your sins. That's not what John is saying at all. He's not saying that at all. You do not have to confess your sins to be saved from hell. Remember what Sean said about the Gospel of John? 100 times it says, believe, 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 believe. It never says confess your sins in order to have eternal life. And obviously, we don't have to confess our sins because how many do we have to confess? If I want to be saved from hell, how many sins do I got to confess? Plus, if you're an unbeliever, you don't even know what sins are, right? How can you confess your sins when you don't even know what they are as an unbeliever? You know, if you talk to unbelievers today and you ask them what sins are, they might say, well, I got a tattoo once. That's probably a sin. Or I got an earring, pierced or whatever. That might be a sin. No. John is talking to believers, and he is talking about fellowship. If we want to have fellowship with God, we must confess our sins. And here's what he's saying is, when I walk in the light, and as I'm studying God's Word, and as God's Word reveals my sin to me, I have one of two options. Number one, I can confess it. I want to have intimacy with God. I want to have fellowship with him. I'm studying his word, and his word reveals a sin to me. Pick a sin. I love to gossip. I love to look at pornography. I'm proud. I love money. I'm greedy, whatever the case may be. And the word reveals that to me. I'm walking with the Lord. I want to have intimacy with him. I'm spending time with him, and his word reveals these sin to me. What happens? Verse 8, here's option number one. I can deny it. I can say, oh, that's not a sin. Let's say I'm a gossip and the Lord reveals that to me through his word. I can say, that's not a big deal. Everybody does it. I can deny that it's a sin. That's what he's saying in verse 8. He says, if we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves. So God's word says that's a sin, and I say, no, it's not. It's not a sin. I can deny it. Or, verse 9, if we confess our sin. What John is saying is that when I walk in the light and the word of God reveals my sin to me, I confess it. Yes, Lord, that's a sin. And notice what he says in verse 9, that if we do that, he is faithful and just to forgive us. I don't know what your translations say here. It should say these sins, not our sins. What John is saying is, when the word of God reveals my sin to me as I'm walking in the light, I confess those sins, and when I do, God forgives me of those sins so that I can have fellowship with him. Because here's the deal, folks. If God is completely holy, how can I have fellowship with him when I'm not holy? My sins must be forgiven on an ongoing basis, and when I confess those sins, they are forgiven, the ones I confess. And then notice what he says. And cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What great news. You know why that's great news? Because there's a bunch of sins that I don't even know I'm committing. What John is saying is, if we confess the ones that the Lord reveals to us in our word, in his word, not only does he forgive us of these sins that we confess, he forgives us of all our sins. And then I can have fellowship with the one in whom there is no sin. And thank God he does. Because if he didn't, we couldn't have fellowship with him. That's what the blood of Christ does. But we must confess those sins. Verse 10, and I'm going to run out of time. Word of God reveals our sin to us. We must agree with God and confess them. Now, real quickly, chapter 2, verse 1. He says, my little children, I'm writing these things to you that you may not sin. But if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteousness. What John is saying here is, I'm not giving you an excuse to sin. You know, we might read those verses and say, oh, it's party time now. Oh, you know, I can sin, I can just confess them, and I can go on. But John says, no, I'm not writing these things into you so that you can just go on and sin. But if we do sin, we have an advocate. And he's obviously talking about Jesus Christ. He is our helper. He is the one who intercedes for us. And I mentioned Luke chapter 22, verses 31 through 33. That's the account where Jesus tells Peter, Peter, you're going to fail me, but I've prayed for you. He's praying for Peter's maturity, for his usefulness, for his fruitfulness. That is what Jesus Christ does for us. He is our perfect advocate. He is our perfect helper. He is the one who is in the presence of the Father interceding for us. He knows what we need to mature. He knows what we need to produce fruit. And the Lord is interceding for us. And how is all this possible? The death of Christ. Notice what he says in verse 2, chapter 2. And he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for our sins only, but also for the whole world. Jesus Christ's death paid for every sin that we've committed and every sin that the whole world has committed. And so therefore, he is more than adequate to not only pave the price so that we could have eternal life, but his death also covers our sins so that we confess them. They are forgiven on a daily basis. Every time we confess them, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And notice what he says here in verse 2. Jesus Christ's death paid for the whole world. The Calvinist who says that Christ only died for certain people, he's wrong. Okay? Christ paid for the sins of the whole world. Therefore, anyone who believes in him has eternal life, and any believer who confesses his sins has the forgiveness of sins so they can have fellowship with God. Unlimited atonement is a fact. People do not go to hell because of their sin. People go to hell because they don't believe in Jesus Christ for eternal life, because Christ paid for the sins of the world. Just a little sidebar. I'm running out of time. So conclusion on my section. John wants his readers to have fellowship with God. The false teachers were wrong. They were teaching them that they could have fellowship with God and sin all they want. But we must confess the sins that the Word of God reveals to us. Christ's death not only makes possible for us to have eternal life, it also makes possible for us to have fellowship with the one in whom there is no sin. And that's the section 1 John 1:5 through chapter 2, verse 2. Thank you.